Isn't this a sports show?
Also, if you listen on the app, you get the X-rated SiriusXM coverage where they curse. You ever want to hear Kevin Harlan say, oh, he bleeping missed it?
Almost entirely.
None of that's true. Except for the stuff about being allowed to listen on the app and the website.
That Marv Albert. Question.
That is true.
Jordan Perdue, bleep yeah!
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Put the bleeping hammer down!
Rock chalk it the bleep up!
Take the show with you by listening on the Sports Radio 810 mobile app at 810WHB.com. Or by searching for Almost Entirely Sports wherever you get your podcasts.
What else are we missing? What else can we go to?
Oh, I'm trying to think of like famous calls.
Yeah, me too. Do you believe in miracles? Holy bleep!
Dang it!
Is that yours?
Yeah!
This is Almost Entirely Sports on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Things are just kind of all over the place. Everybody's a little here, a little over there. There's some news happening here, some good news and some bad news. There's football coming, but not quite as much as we thought there might be. And I gotta be honest, that kind of at its core chaos feels perfect for a Thanksgiving Eve. Happy Thanksgiving Eve, everyone listening here to Almost Entirely Sports. We'll be with you for the next 3 hours, running until 11 o'clock tonight here. I'm Joshua Briscoe, Rudy Salazar on the other side of the glass. You can listen to the show on the 810 mobile app, 810WHB.com. Also now, the Facebook Live setup is back. So at facebook.com/sportsradio810. You can go to the Sports Radio 810 Facebook page, get it that way. Right now, lots of people are tweeting about not being able to get a PS5 because they went out of stock on Walmart in under a minute.
Here's the thing. I want to talk about this. Like, because I've been asked a lot if I'm going to get one, and I just, here's the thing. No, because there was no chance it was ever going to happen.
No chance.
I don't have the dedication that it takes to be, like, sitting by a computer for 24 hours ahead of time and, like, nor the internet speeds to get that done quick enough.
I know a little bit. I'm code illiterate. I cannot code a bot to buy one for me. There's just no chance.
It's just not happening.
It's just not happening.
And I'm fine with that. I'll wait. I'll be happy.
Here's where I think this is going to end up being a really excellent descriptor of sort of who I am as a person. And Rudy, I know you're going to be able to relate to a lot of this. By the way, we'll have Matt Verderam at 9, Ryan Tracy at 10, Verderam of Fanside and the Stacked in the Box podcast, Ryan Tracy of Locked On Chiefs, RGR Football, Rogue Analytics is a great guide every draft season. One of my favorite people, two of my favorite people to talk football with, both on the show tonight. We have Verderam all the time now, but it's been a minute since I talked to Ryan Tracy, so I'm excited to have him because they're both just, I love talking to both of them. So we'll have a lot of Chiefs stuff to get you ready for Chiefs Buccaneers. And then also, if you're thinking tomorrow, you know, it's Thanksgiving. At what point am I going to try to, like, go to the basement or whatever and then throw in an earbud for a little bit and just try to get some me time? Maybe, you know, Uncle Jerry's taking a nap, so you get a little football time. Maybe you want a little podcast in the ear quietly there. We'll be here for you. We got 3 hours of all this and some great stuff coming from Matt and Ryan. But even if you're just kind of, you know, working on the... If you really are excited about getting a nice Thanksgiving hangover going, you just need a friend for tonight. We'll be here for that also. So tons of Chiefs stuff coming. The best way that I can describe the phenomenon that you just alluded to there, Rudy, is, you know, one of the things in this life that I'm passionate about is fried chicken. And I don't even mean, I'm not even proud of this, but I don't mean like drumsticks and wings and stuff. I mean, like, especially working here with Rudy and Beards for as long as we've all been working together now, we've really all had a chance to really become, you know, maybe some of the most refined palates in the Midwest in terms of like chicken tenders and stuff. And I love a chicken sandwich. I worked at Chick-fil-A as a teen. I ate a lot of chicken sandwiches. I love a chicken sandwich. I love a good, just, you know, a quick service restaurant chicken, fried chicken plate.
Love a nice spicy chicken sandwich.
Oh, I love a spicy chicken sandwich. Oh, I love it so much. Ooh.
Now I know Beards just shivered somewhere.
Yeah, because his two favorite things are bread and chicken, but not together.
Yeah, he just heard the word spicy and just thought sacrilege.
That's true. But a spicy chicken sandwich is like one of life's simple pleasures. I'm all about it. But I think I had my first Popeye's spicy chicken sandwich like 6 months after they first came out. You know, there's going to be a Whataburger, maybe two Whataburgers in the area relatively soon-ish.
It sounds like there were at least job postings for like a general manager for a couple of Whataburger sites in the Kansas City metro area.
I think there's
area.
Confirmed one coming in Lee's Summit
Lee's
or something
Summit,
like
yes.
that.
And I believe I don't know if it was confirmed, but the people were finding job postings for one in the Overland, like in Johnson County, essentially.
I've never had In-N-Out. Was there an In-N-Out in, was it Colorado or something like that a couple days ago? There were lines around like an entire mall or something, some nonsense like that. Since having my first Popeye's chicken sandwich, I've gone back many times because I think it might be the best sandwich you can get in a drive-thru. Like, it's great. Truly superb. But if you thought for one ding-dang second that I was going to wait an hour in line to get one of those sandwiches, you're a fool. I am not going to kill myself on Walmart.com trying to restock a PS5.
I'm not going to let somebody kill me.
I'm not going to get stabbed things. For a chicken sandwich.
Or a PlayStation.
Or a PlayStation.
I'm good.
One year... And this feels so like archaic now. It was only a handful of years ago, but especially this during the COVID year. My cousin and I went with my mom Black Friday shopping one time, and my mom and I think went when I was really little one year to get a Furby, which I still have, by the way. If you ever see any of the videos I shoot from home, it's somewhere tucked in my bookcase behind me. It's a black and white Furby. I'll keep it forever because apparently there was blood, sweat, and tears to get it. I don't remember that very well, but oh, you gotta love a Furby. It's the most 90s thing ever.
It's a great thing. It was a great toy. My Furby, my Chia Pet with my Tamagotchi. Yeah. Like, we were just living the life. Except I guess I didn't really have the Tamagotchi, but I had the Digimon Tamagotchi. So
oh,
like,
that's good, though.
Same thing, but yeah. You know, it's Digimon.
I definitely had a Tamagotchi at one point, but it didn't stick with me like the Furby.
The Digimon, like, would fight other Digimon Tamagotchis. Just ruled that playground.
I am not going to go wait in line for a TV deal or a video game. I don't enjoy waiting for things. I wouldn't say that I'm an impatient person, honestly.
I would argue, because I think we fall on the same line, almost too patient. Because I am the person who will, I have no problem waiting for like the next big movie just to be on Netflix in 6 months.
Right.
I have no problem waiting for a PlayStation 5 to finally be available in like, I don't know, June of 2023, and it's like a bundle because Cyberpunk
when
is
Cyberpunk
finally
comes
released.
Out, that's exactly, yep, that's
like,
exactly
I,
right.
I'm fine with waiting. Beard's also just shivered again somewhere.
There's a disturbance in the force around him. What I am very anti is not waiting, but it's avoidable inconvenience. I will wait 6 months to get the Popeye's chicken sandwich if I only have to wait 5 minutes in the drive-thru, as opposed to getting it 6 months sooner and spending 2 hours in the drive-thru.
While bleeding out.
Well, because
you've been stabbed.
Because I've been stabbed for one of these sandwiches. That's exactly right. I don't mind being late to a party because I will not inconvenience myself for the thing that is necessary to be like first one in. And there have been times that, like, going to a concert or something that, you know, I've gotten there early, we've waited in line for a few hours, it was nice, and then maybe, like, late high school, early college, and even then more recently, if you get a GA ticket, maybe I'll go. I'll tell you what, though, there have been a couple of shows now, back whenever there were, like, concerts and stuff, where...
Never heard of them.
Where a girlfriend and Renee and I think at least two were at the, what was at that time known as the Sprint Center, when there was a thing called the Sprint Center.
Never heard of it.
There was a thing called the Sprint Center, and it had things called concerts.
Sounds like a make-believe story.
I fell and hit my head earlier today, yeah. But I don't mind like being in like a general admission pit, you know, for a show. I kind of like that energy. But at some point, relatively recently, I realized, you know, I would rather be a little farther back, have a verified seat, and it's not even just because like my feet get tired, although they do. It's so we can get there 15 minutes before the show starts and just gallop on in and get our our good seat, as opposed to standing in line for 8 hours behind some people that have been there since Thursday that have an entire tent, and then now are 3 rows back instead of being 15 rows back and in a chair. I'm not sitting throughout the concert. I'm not a psychopath. The same thing would count if it was just like a you know, 3-foot by 3-foot box that I knew I could stand in that just had my name in it. But convenience versus patience is exactly where I'm at. I'm not gonna spend hours trying to 360 no scope a PS5. I also probably not gonna end up getting either of the new next gen consoles for maybe. I don't have a PS anything or an Xbox anything. I got the Switch. What else would I need?
Yeah, I assume I will get the PS5 in 2021, but I'm not like 100% certain that I will. I assume that I will. I kind of assumed at one time I would get one for like around Christmas time, but now I know that's not happening. And part of this because like I just like I'm good. I'm fine with waiting. So yeah, I I'm guessing in 2021 I do. And part of that is because, man, Miles Morales would look pretty.
It does look good.
It looks so pretty.
It does look good. That's true. I'll get a PlayStation or an Xbox whenever PlayStation or Xbox gets the next Animal Crossing.
That's a good point.
It's not gonna.
You never know.
It would be quite jarring.
What are the odds? Cyberpunk comes out or PlayStation gets the rights to Animal Crossing?
I mean, there's a better chance. There's a better chance that didn't Xbox just buy Bethesda or something?
Yes.
Something like that.
Was it Bethesda or Ubisoft or was it both?
I don't know.
They bought one of those two companies.
There's a better chance that Halo is on Switch than that Cyberpunk comes out on time. I mean, it doesn't
That's
matter.
A great point.
It doesn't matter. Hey, what's the better chance that I walk out of here today and I open up the studio door and there's like a prank with a bucket on the top, but instead of being filled with water, it's filled with $100 bills, or Cyberpunk comes out on whatever its TBD date is? Yeah, there's a better chance that I'm going to have $1,000 dumped on my head as I leave the studio tonight.
Beard is just shivering in a corner of a closet somewhere, just wondering what is happening to him.
Comforting himself with just slices of white bread. Anyway.
A 2 liter of Coke. Room temperature.
Anyway. Sometimes I think about how long it takes to get the show to the point I think the show's going to start at. And I get self-conscious about it. This also happens with Time's Ours, the podcast with me and Seth Kaiser and Nate Taylor, where the show will have a 15-minute intro that's not an intro. It's just sort of us catching up before we start doing the real show. We do this here all the time. And sometimes I think about that and think, you know, I think that's very much a lot of people's, like, favorite part. It's my favorite part of a lot of shows if I like the hosts and whatnot. So now just existing in a world where someone likes me, you know, I think we're just going to live in that fantasy world while we're living in one with a Sprint Center that has live concerts.
It's like the Besties podcast that we both listen to. Like, their cold opens are obviously like very short, but yeah. Like they have literally nothing to do with like the podcast. It's literally just like the best clip of them talking prior to starting.
That's right.
Like, yeah, that's funny. That's one of my favorite parts.
And I would listen to that show if there was no topic.
Yeah.
I would just listen to them all talk. You know,
they
just
started podcasting before the podcast started. Like podcasting all that, just them talking. And yeah. I'd listen to that.
100%.
Easy.
And we have way more hours. We're doing this, you know, multiple hours almost every day. so I don't, I'm not too self-conscious about it, because it's, again, it's what I enjoy, and I know lots of people like that kind of thing. But sometimes I think, like, I don't know, what's, you know, is this the, not the open that someone out there is looking for? And then today I was listening to the program, and the first, like, 10 minutes was mostly Seren dunking on media members in press conferences, asking what players and coaches are thankful for. And it made me, it just simply made me so happy, because it's what we were all thinking, I think, that whole time. In fact, I'm gonna double down. I'm gonna steal the program's intro from today to make it our third intro. Because I was talking to the aforementioned Nate Taylor earlier today, and he was talking about what he wanted to, like, ask about in the pressers or whatever. And I said, well, you know, there's some, like, injury questions, but those will probably be taken by, you know, but those will probably be Herbie questions or Teicher questions, you know. They're going to get down to the nitty-gritty. They're going to get their questions answered, you know, the facts that people need to know. And then somebody's going to ask everyone else what they're thankful for. And then you have whatever is left. And Nate was like, yeah, good point. And then Nate ended up talking about a bunch of stuff in it and had a nice piece up on The Athletic earlier. But, you know, maybe that's just what we ask. Maybe that's what we just ask Verderam and Ryan later tonight also. Just, hey, guys, what are you thankful for? And then we just hang up. I think that's a pretty good idea. The other thing that I thought we might get to today before we dig into to a few Chiefs things, a few Chiefs defense things, and do a little bit of a look ahead both to the Bucs and then also look back at what was addressed today, because there actually was some pretty interesting stuff in the pressers, especially from, I think, Tyrann Mathieu had some of the most interesting things, because it's the first time anyone from the Chiefs defense has talked to the media since the game on Sunday. No one from the defense even talked after the game. So we'll play a couple clips from him in a minute as well. But the one sort of big piece of NFL news today was that the Ravens-Steelers game has been postponed. It was supposed to be the nightcap tomorrow. It was the primetime game that was going to follow a couple of pretty garbo games between the Lions and Texans and the Cowboys and football team. Those are the games at 11:30 and 2:30 or 3 or whatever. And then we were going to get Ravens-Steelers. Ravens-Steelers was going to be interesting for a number of reasons. One is because it's two pretty interesting teams, and it's an undefeated Steelers team, and, you know, Lamar Jackson's Ravens team. That team's got some players you know and some real firepower, even though they haven't been as good as the Steelers have this year. But also, for the Chiefs, it was super relevant because it was going to be the game that that gave the Chiefs a chance to get right back in the race for the one seed. The Chiefs lost their game to the Raiders. The Steelers haven't lost yet. So the Steelers are currently in the driver's seat for the one and only first-round bye in the AFC this year. Any other year, the Chiefs and the Steelers would both be, at this point, pretty much shoe-ins for a first-round bye. And those are important. Not only does it mean you can't lose in the first round, but you also get a week to rest. I mean, both of those things I think are really important. But those are all reasons that the game tomorrow night was going to be exciting. And then it gets postponed because the Ravens have just a ton of guys getting put on the COVID list. I think at least they had at least two of the running backs on there. I think Gus Edwards was not on. I think that he was the one that was brought up as being the guy that wasn't on the list. Well, then the whole, like, defense is a close contact. We find out today that the Ravens had a strength and conditioning coach or a staff member, something like that, that was, like, just straight up flaunting the protocols and ended up causing problems for everybody. And so ultimately, as this is all sort of unraveling, the game gets postponed and ultimately moved back to a 12:15 kickoff, I believe, on Sunday on NBC still, which is going to be interesting. There's going to be a lot of just a lot of football on Sunday in that noon window. But there's a slightly later. I don't know if the thought there is they'll get the end of that game more nationally seen. Because it'll end 15 minutes later. I don't know. I'm not sure, because then a lot of people are going to go to the start of Chiefs-Bucks. I don't know. It'll be interesting. But the Steelers, a lot of Steelers, Eric Ebron tweeted about it, Juju Smith-Schuster tweeted about it. A lot of guys were tweeting about their various forms of frustration about this game because the Steelers also got derailed earlier in the year because of all of the nonsense from the Titans. And so now the Steelers have had 2 weeks really screwed up by other teams testing positive and really derailing the whole deal. And, you know, some of that you can't get too bent out of shape about because everything this year is weird. But I think they have a very valid gripe. One is that, again, it's bad luck that they've been on the short end of the stick twice now when it wasn't their fault. But they lost their bye week because they were preparing for a game, and then it got delayed late, and it moved to their bye week, and so their bye week disappeared. They ended up working. They're only going to play 16 games, but their days off disappeared there. And now this year, they were actually going to get... People are saying, well, this is the first time anyone's ever been mad about not playing on a short week. Well, the plan for them was to get a long week after this. They were preparing to play on Thursday. The Chiefs didn't have any media availability on Monday. They didn't practice on Tuesday. I'm pretty sure the Steelers would have practiced on Monday and Tuesday, or at least been in the building Monday and Tuesday and today in preparation for a Thursday game. And then maybe they get Friday, Saturday, Sunday all off. You get a real 3-day week, something like that, before you get back at it again next week. They were finally going to get at least like a half bye week. And now it's getting moved back after they've already spent these last several days preparing for this game on a short week. And also, primetime on Thanksgiving, if you're going to be working on Thanksgiving, primetime in a big game like that could be kind of cool. It's kind of a neat thing to be able to do. You know, you get your, you know, time at home on Thanksgiving night also has its pluses, certainly. But I can see the frustration. The biggest thing, though, and the thing that I think is the most fair piece of the gripe for the Steelers is that 3 weeks ago on Thursday Night Football, the 49ers went out there with a practice squad team. That's actually how it was described verbatim by Rich Hribar on Twitter. Hribar, I don't know. But I realize I just stole that from him because I was staring at his tweet a second ago and that stuck in my head. So I'm not trying to plagiarize on purpose. Like, they were playing with a scout team out there, and they had some injuries, but they had a ton of COVID issues, and guys are going on and off the COVID list all week long. And the NFL said, well, the show must go on. It's your guys' outbreak. You make sure you have enough active players. Let's get at it. The thing that the Steelers, I think, have to be frustrated with here, by the way, is if your opponent has a COVID outbreak and you don't, that simply becomes a competitive advantage. It's the reality of trying to play football in this year. The Chiefs had Jordan Ta'amu test positive the same time Cam Newton did leading up to that Patriots game. That's not fair. That is not each team losing a digit. That's the Chiefs losing a hair off their head and the Patriots losing an arm. But the show must go on. And the thing that the NFL never, as far as I can tell, even attempted to really do was to have something where you say this threshold postpones a game. Because whenever you do that, you're then held accountable to your own rulings. And so that Niners game, you know, that was the only game on a Thursday, that Thursday night. I thought they were going to go after everything they could to make this game happen tomorrow night because it was the Thanksgiving primetime game. But the Thanksgiving primetime game is a relatively new creation. I mean, I think at this point, actually, it might have been going on for 5 to 10 years, something like that, maybe. But it doesn't have all the tradition of the first two games where you watch the Lions lose and then you watch the Cowboys lose. Rudy, will you see if you can figure out when the first like primetime Thanksgiving game was? Because, I mean, I think the Chiefs actually played one close to a decade ago.
I believe I heard today the last time there wasn't one was 2005.
Was it really?
Yeah, the last time there wasn't that night postseason Thanksgiving game.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah, no.
Maybe I'm slowly old.
Definitely played one because I'm pretty sure it was at home against the Broncos, and I'm pretty sure I was there.
Oh, really?
Pretty sure.
Wow. I remember watching that game at my grandparents' house in Wichita on a crummy TV. I don't remember who they played, but I remember watching the Chiefs play a game from there. So it
November 23rd, 2006.
No kidding.
Chiefs Broncos.
Huh. Interesting.
Was that game? I remember it was very cold, and I drank a lot of hot cocoa. Because my dad...
$15 hot cocoa. Yeah,
well, so here's the thing. It was my dad's like former boss, who he's was always been very close with.
Yeah.
Gave him... He used to have a...
He's made a hot cocoa, that guy.
He used to have a suite out at the... Not really a suite, but it was more of the box suite. So it's not like the... You don't have an inside option, but you have your little square. You know, it's gated off. And there was free hot cocoa in there.
Oh, that's so good.
And so while
all
the adults were drinking their adult beverages, I'm just throwing back hot cocoa. Like, let's go.
By the end, you were way less sober than they were.
Easy.
Because you were hot cocoa sloshed. That's a special type of off your rocker.
So cold.
But you know, that's Even as that's become a norm now for, I guess, the last 15 years, which is way longer than I would have guessed, because I just don't think of myself as remembering things from 15 years ago.
And my guess is, like, there's been primetime games before then. I'm looking it up. I just know that was the last time there were, or at least from what
I would have taken the under on
saying,
that.
I believe I heard that when I was with Corey out at the rally house today.
Yeah, I'm guessing that's probably around the right space then. I would have guessed it was more recent than that, because my memory, again, is usually not running that far back. But regardless, the Thursday night game that the Niners had to play, like, it was the Thursday night game, and so I'm guessing the NFL was saying, you know, that's a harder thing for us to work our way out of. But the thing that has to be so frustrating for the Steelers is, again, like, the Chiefs got a competitive advantage because Cam Newton got COVID, and Jordan Ta'amu was their biggest loss to the COVID list.
Here's a fun fact.
Tell me about it.
So, yeah, 2005 was the last time that there wasn't the night primetime game. You know why? Because 2006, Chiefs versus Broncos was the debut of Thursday night football.
Was it really?
The Chiefs broke in Thursday night football with a barn burner.
Yeah.
19-10 win over the Broncos. Hey, but that's a win, baby. That's a win.
Well, can you find me the stat line on that game?
Yeah, I'll definitely have it for you.
That's great. But, the NFL could have tried any number of things for any amount of consistency here. They could have said, hey, if your starting quarterback is out, we'll postpone the game. They'd say, hey, if you have six players, we'll postpone the game. But If it's six players from your practice squad, you're probably going to power through. If it's six players from your starting offensive line and your number one receiver, you're probably going to throw a fit. But because it's arbitrary, and because, you know, there's something to be said for being flexible at all turns and saying, well, we'll play it by ear. You do get that flexibility that can be used in your favor to try to get the best possible circumstances at any given time. But the Steelers ended up being on the wrong end of that flexibility twice now. Tell me about this 2006 Chiefs-Broncos game.
Oh, man, there's so much.
I'm so excited for some of these names.
So much good.
Was this the last time they played on Thanksgiving?
They
might have played a non-night game, I guess.
See,
I'll look that up while you give me that one.
Through. Okay, I see. I've got the Wikipedia page here with all the games. So, like, I'm at, yeah, that's their only one. Unless I scroll too fast, that should be the only one. Trent Green was the quarterback back then, going up against Jake Plummer.
Yes, the Snake!
Jake the Snake Plummer. Trent Green was only 13 for 22, 161 yards and an interception. No touchdowns.
Big Priest Holmes game?
Larry Johnson game,
okay.
Went for 34 carries, 157 yards, and a TD. Mike Bell was the running back for Denver. Chiefs leading receiver? Sammy Parker, three catches for 71 yards.
That's great.
You want to know who led the way on defense?
I'd love that.
Ty Law led team tackles that game. So did Kieran Fox. Tom Holly and Jared Allen each had combined for two sacks. Quique Mitchell had some tackles along the way too. Patrick Surtain. I've told this story how I have a Patrick Surtain and Ty Law combo, like, jersey. I bought both of their jerseys because I thought they were going to be the greatest secondary in NFL history.
They're not.
The Chiefs played back-to-back Thanksgiving games in 95 and 96. They played
the
Cowboys.
To look back prior
that's fine.
To 2006.
That's okay. That's that because I'm not counting those years because I was 1 and 2 years old those 2 years. But yeah, then 2006, it's that barn burner, and then the Kansas City Blues played the Green Bay Packers in 1924.
Mike Bell was the running back for Denver, and I think I remember him, but I'm not totally sure that I remember
him. It rings a bell, no pun intended, but pun very much accepted. I caught it before I said it, but then I realized that I was saying it.
I do remember when the Chiefs got Michael Bennett, the running back, because I remember thinking to myself, like, I remember he came from Minnesota.
Weird thing to remember.
Yeah. He was like their backup running back who would like, he was like the receiving guy, right? And
sure.
So it was kind of like this guy's like, yo, he's the lightning to Larry Johnson's thunder.
Boy, I don't remember that at all.
He might have been all right that year. I honestly don't remember, but I just know Larry Johnson. My guess is Michael Bennett didn't touch the ball
it's
much.
It's not the defensive end?
I just remember. No. There was Michael Bennett, the running back, as well.
Yeah, right. That's true.
There were two Michael Bennetts. I forgot that there were two Michael Bennetts on this team, but there were two Michael
Bennetts.
He was a
first-round draft pick in 2001.
Yeah, Wisconsin boy. It's always those running backs from Wisconsin.
Oh, he went to prison for 5 years. Let's see why.
Huh. That took a dark turn.
Sure did. Burglary.
Fraud.
ID theft.
Yeah. Could have been worse.
He fraudulently took out $225,000 in loans using the names of his girlfriend's parents. I mean, yeah, 5 years, you know? It feels steep.
I mean, also, how many times have we went down this rabbit hole of, oh, no, we're talking about it's in prison. How bad could this be? Fraud. Nah, who cares?
No, that's a huge win compared to we've had some bad rabbit holes. We're like, oh, man, remember this guy? And we look at it when we just Google, oh, whatever happened to that guy? And it's like,
oh, no,
he's in jail forever. Nate Taylor thought John Madden was dead.
What?
That happened this morning. He said the phrase, Nate said the phrase.
R.I.P. John Madden. R.I.P.
Nate Taylor said the phrase, John Madden, God rest his soul. And I said, Nate, do you think John Madden's dead? I Googled it before I said that because I wasn't 1,000% sure.
I wasn't either.
But I would have bet on John Madden being alive. And he's still with us. But as Nate said, we just haven't heard from him in a while, which is true.
R.I.P. John.
Well, no, he's still with us.
Resting in purgatory.
Resting
in public transportation because he doesn't like to fly. He loves a bus.
It would be like me, like whenever you were saying that Beards like felt a chill when we're talking about Cyberpunk, it'd be like me going, oh, Beards is rolling over in his grave right now. Like he is still with us.
I mean, I can't see him. It's like Pavlov's cat. You know, if you can't see it.
No!
I know this one, right?
No!
I know it's Pavlov's
no!
dog, but
it's
what is
Pavlov's
the
Pavlov's dogs and Schrodinger's cats.
Schrodinger's cats, yes.
Is that
if you can't
Pavlov's,
see it, is it really there?
Is that Pavlov's cat?
Beards
actually,
could be both dead and alive and playing Cyberpunk. We don't know because we can't. Well, I mean, we know about the Cyberpunk thing, but
right. That's good point. Is it Pavlov's cat? You know what, Rudy? Yes and no.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
Like, you will accidentally find nudity on the internet. That happens, like, I don't know, once every three times they open a tab.
With Joshua Briscoe.
Weird shirt, lobster shorts.
Right, yes.
Space hoodie.
Paxson.com.
Naked body.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
I literally almost, the one other thing, there are a couple things I wanted to talk about this segment. The one thing that I went, we won't talk about that here, was just some of the, like, the ads that show up at the bottom of every article on the internet now that are just like, if you have an enlarged prostate, do this immediately. Clear out your gut every morning with this one weird food. And then, like, some of the weirdest ones are like, if you're over 40, you must play this game now. And it's like a vaguely sexualized cartoon. It's really weird. It's very strange. Those ads are very, who clicks those? You won't, she was voted the most adorable child 30 years ago. Here's what she looks like now.
What's she look like, Josh?
I don't know. I'm like a virus. She looks like a virus on my computer. I'm not clicking any of those ads. They're all going to take my money somehow. I don't know. Anyway, being distracted by that gave Rudy time to find the audio clips I wanted to go to next.
Everything will steal your money somehow. That's what I've learned in life.
That's fair. Yeah, that's true. It all disappears eventually.
Amazon just stealing all my money and sending me things that I may or may not want.
I have a ton of cognitive dissonance with Amazon. Because I think it's fundamentally bad.
Yeah, absolutely. Jeff Bezos doesn't pay taxes.
I mean, I think it's fundamentally bad for humanity.
He'll conquer this world one day.
But I got a new pair of sunglasses for $7, and it showed up in 2 days.
My niece's and nephew's Christmas presents arrived today. Like, that's where I buy everything from.
I'm going to buy a Christmas present for my family on there and then just ship it straight to their house. And it's not any extra or anything. It's still free because I have Prime.
It's there in 2 days.
It'll be there. That's the thing. I thought about ordering a thing today, but I was like, well, I don't know. I don't need it to get there on November 27th. I can order it on December 20th, and it'll be there with 3 days to spare. Why would I buy it now? That might just be like the consequences of, like, I was going to say it's magical. That might be the consequences of like literal magic, you know? It's like, well, we have magic, but to make these potions, I have to use, you know, puppy hearts. It's like, oh, but it's so convenient. Yeah, but it's made of puppy hearts. Ah!
But 2 days.
But I can have an item magically summoned to me for very little money in 2 days. Amazon. Anyway. They're profiting off of a pandemic, but it's so... But they had a video game on sale that got to my house in 3 days, and I was pissed!
By the way, what game was it? Did we talk... Oh, yeah, we did.
Harvest Moon. Moon game. By it's the like
way,
a remake.
I just saw that apparently Fire Emblem Three Heroes is like $33 off right now on Amazon.
I just saw that...
I don't know if I need that game in my life, but for $33
it feels
off,
up
it's,
your
like,
alley.
It's enticing.
Yeah, I saw Rush Rustic tweeted that Hollow Knight is $7.50 on Switch right now. And so I'm probably gonna get that. I feel like I'm not gonna have the patience to actually stick with it, but I'm gonna have it for $7.
It also doesn't feel like a game that would take like too long to be like where like three or fire here or
Fire Emblem.
Fire Emblem Three Heroes.
Is it Three Houses?
Three Houses. Yes, Three Houses. It is like legit like a 100+ hour game that I don't know if I need all that time in my life. I don't know where I have that time out of my life. So I'm gonna be Breath of the freaking Wild.
I still haven't gotten Breath of the Wild successfully delivered to me yet. I've tried buying it multiple times.
Try to get it on sale.
Yeah, it's been on sale before. That's the thing. Whenever I had my like week off from radio a couple weeks ago, that was the time where I was like hoping Breath of the Wild would get there early in that week and I could play it that week. What am I gonna do with it now?
I'm disappointed that like in my week off, I basically spent that whole week like apartment hunting because like that was also my goal and I did not touch it once because I spent the whole week just like honestly essentially working.
That does stink. Did you get any good apartment leads? We haven't talked about
not
this
really.
At all. That's too bad.
Yeah. Might be good. Honestly, there's a decent chance I go the house route, so may work out.
That's exciting.
Itself. Yeah.
Now, what's the address of the place you currently live at?
It is 999.
That's convenient. How many
nine.
Nines?
6969.
Nice.
996669.
No, that was your social security number that you just gave.
Oh.
I meant your home address. That was your credit card number. What's your home address? And now
2211.
Now flip it over really quick, Rudy. What's the 3-digit number on the back?
666.
Okay, good.
9. So many good number jokes you can make with the number 6. I mean, you can go 666 and go 69. So many possibilities.
You can splice it up. What's that? What's that? A 4-2, and then what does it leave over? A 0. Whoa, so freaking cool. You see, Samford's basketball team won at halftime. You see the score of that game?
No. Oh.
For Samford men's basketball.
Who are they playing?
Greenville, Illinois. At halftime.
Sounds like the school from Community almost.
It does. That's Greendale.
Greenville,
yes. Is very close. At halftime, the score of that game, 102-50.
Oh, my Atlanta. I mean, one, their defense was really bad. Give
them
50 points
is a lot. That's the other thing. To give up 50 points and a half. I mean, I guess, you know, there are a lot of possessions.
Sure.
A lot of possessions there, I guess. But, yeah, their defense isn't is
not. Boxed out better, is my guess. Coach probably was came into the locker room furious that they gave up 50 points at halftime.
That was 40 minutes ago. I'm going to see if I can find the final score of this game. We're not going to have time to play Tyrann Mathieu clips this segment anyway. In fact, we should probably just take a break after I find the final score of this game. Or attempt to find it. These last 2 days, we've had really, really long first segments that have just totally derailed the clocks for the rest of the for the rest of the hour. I think it's Rudy's fault.
Sure.
I'm having a very hard time finding a Samford score.
Weirdly
difficult, right?
Yeah, weirdly the same. Having that same problem. I may have it. Maybe.
I'm finding their Twitter account right now. This is not good radio, I understand. With 11 and a half minutes left, it was 137-65.
Well, the defense picked up.
But the whole pace of the game slowed down, though.
Yeah, for sure.
I would like for that game to end 200-100. I would like to see a 200-point game, please.
You gotta keep jacking threes.
The final score of that game could have been 204-100, and it could have been that might have been the highest scoring game in modern history.
Possibly.
It's right there for the taking, and they throttled back in the second half. Cowards, what are you afraid of? Let's take a break. I got Tyrann Mathieu sound, I got Patrick Mahomes sound, we got Matt Verderam coming in 10 minutes. We'll do a bunch of that whenever we come back.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
In fairness, I at least got distracted by something that was in my notes for tonight.
And sportsy.
And sport? That's a great point.
With Joshua Briscoe.
You got distracted from sports by sports to talk about sports.
By the sports for the sports.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
There was also a women's college basketball game that had some sort of absolutely bonkers, like 130-45 sort of score. Glad to have you back,
UConn
college sports.
Against anybody?
I think it was South Carolina. I think they're
number one right now.
Actually,
it's like South Carolina and UConn are the two that are always just really good.
I'm still not fully college basketball being here right now just is still totally my internal clock is still totally off. My internal sports clock is still absolutely busted. I think it's because of all of the delays where things start getting stacked up, and I don't know. It feels like the MLB season just ended. That's been over the longest, though. Like, that's been over for a minute. Like, the NBA season ended after that. And, like, remember hockey? Remember that the hockey bubble happened? NFL still happening. College football's trying to happen. Nick Saban has COVID for real this time.
You say NBA ended after MLB because it ended before.
Did it?
Yeah, definitely.
My internal clock is completely busted. Did it really?
Yeah, for sure. Because I was I was on vacation when the MLB playoffs had ended, like when the Dodgers won the World Series. And I remember we had shows where we talked about the Lakers winning it.
If you say so.
I'm pretty confident.
I mean, I believe you more than I believe myself at this point.
I mean, they were close, though. Like, all of the playoffs were happening at the same time.
I guess you're right. I guess that's true. And then the NBA just had free agency in the draft, and the end of the season starts again on, like, Thursday. Anyway, and of course, we're deep in the throes of the NFL season. The stuff Tyrann Mathieu talked about, I'm going to save, and we'll dig into that a little bit more after we talk to Verderam here in about 10 minutes. But Patrick Mahomes talked today, and there were a few interesting things. You can see the full pressers up on the Sports Radio 810 Facebook page. I know that for a fact because I put them up there myself today. You can see Andy Reid, Pat Mahomes, Tyrann Mathieu, Tyreek Hill are all up there. But there was one clip from Mahomes that I thought was kind of interesting. In terms of how they prepare on a week-to-week basis, I think this question was really asked in the spirit of the Raiders whenever you're seeing a team divisionally multiple times. But, you know, even like later Mahomes talked about the preparing for the Bucs this week. And he mentioned, you know, Todd Bowles is the defensive coordinator there now. And he said, well, yeah, I remember whenever, as a rookie, whenever Alex Smith was starting, we had to prepare for the Jets defense in that game. Then Todd Bowles was the head coach of that team. So there are those dots that are connected, and you're preparing looking at tape. You know, I'm sure they've watched every defensive snap the Bucs have run this year. But I think really this sort of most applies whenever you're seeing a team twice in a year, four times in 2 years, etc.
I think Sam Ehlinger is going to have a story about this coming up pretty soon, mostly because he asked Patrick Mahomes the question.
I thought it was McDowell. McDowell asked about the two-minute warning drill stuff. Yeah.
He also asked Andy Reid the same question. So if you want to know more about this, just keep your eyes on your Kansas City Star, because I think Sam Ehlinger's got a story coming.
I think you're probably right. There were a good handful of those sort of like ask the guys about the same thing, but it usually means the story's coming kind of way. Yeah, no, you're right. I think this was a Ehlinger question. So let's get to it before he ever has the chance. Here's what Patrick Mahomes says about closing the gap between things that you see opposing defenses do on tape that you're actually preparing for, and then new things that a defense shows you in game that you haven't had a chance to prepare for.
Yeah, I think you have to prepare for everything. I think that's the biggest thing. I mean, we go into every one of these game plans, and we really break down each and every game that the teams have played, the blitzes that they've brought on certain situations, and we prepare ourselves for those blitzes. And then if we get different coverages, and if we get more shell type coverages, we can execute against that too. And so I think Coach Reed does a great job of preparing me for every single coverage and blitz that can get presented. And I think our whole staff of EB and Coach Heck and Coach Kafka, they do a good job of making sure I'm prepared for every single situation, no matter what look that we get.
I think that in a lot of cases, I don't think this is intentional for almost anybody, but I think in a lot of cases we end up, because things move so fast and because there are so many moving parts, I think we sort of sand down the edges of a ton of elements of football. We can most consistent, you know, football watchers can identify a blitz. You can see, all right, that's a blitz. I get it. But to say, here's every blitz they've run in the last 3 years, and not this is them blitzing, this is them not blitzing, but every variation of it, right? And this is a super like small example. But here's every variation of pressure they bring and what it means elsewhere. And here's what it means whenever this is the coverage look they're giving, and this is the pressure look they're giving. But then here's what they do whenever they're showing you that look, and they expect you to think this pressure and this coverage is going to mean this opportunity for you. And so they're going to do something different, which they've actually also shown. And then there's a third stack on that of them showing that it's the scene from The Princess Bride at this point of, would you put this cup in front of me because you think I'm going to drink this cup, but you actually think that I would think that you would think that I would think it's this cup. And in the end, every defense is putting poison in both cups, and every offense has to be prepared for both cups to be poisoned all the time. So many moving parts. Just another reason I think this game is so fascinating. Matt Verderam next.